I had him worried, didn't I? I always heard that if the speaker didn't show up, the presider had to take over and finish the class. He's not coming. I need three or four young men to pass out some cards. Can you do that for me? Volunteers? Yes, I did. Yes, I did. I gotta get my pocket knife out here. So, well, you may have to open it again. Here, I got that and started. Divvy that between Bobby there. Now, these cards, you'll have some left over, are to write your little questions on. Now, hang on to this right now because I have another question. There's gonna be a front and a back question. I think you've probably got plenty there. Well, I don't know. If you run out, I got another stack. We have one question to ask already, and we'll have another one. We'll talk about those toward the end of the class. I want to start out with this is just a little made-up story. There's a little boy. He's about 4 years old. He's got brown eyes and brown hair. He's about this tall. It's in the summertime, and he's been home with Mom. And Mom's a lot of fun, but there's something special about Dad. When he's about 3 years old, he started noticing that him and Dad were alike. There was something different about Dad and Mom. And he got to looking at them, and he thought, am I like Mom, or am I like Dad? Well, then he noticed he was more like Dad in certain ways. And Mom was always worrying about things. She didn't want him to get dirty. Dad didn't care. Dad would get out and play in the dirt with him. They'd take the little cars and tractors and play in the dirt. And once in a while, he'd get to use a hammer. And he went out to Granddad sometime, out to Granddad's little ranch they had. And his granddad one day was watching him, and his granddad was shoeing horses. And his granddad would get dirty, too. He never could figure out why Mom worried so much about getting dirty. She said something about germs. He didn't know what a germ was, but the guys didn't seem to worry about it, and he wanted to be one of the guys. So he loved his mom, but he really felt comfortable around Dad and Granddad, and he felt so special when they would show him things. His granddad would stick him up on the tractor sometimes, and they'd go around the field, and he felt like one of the guys. Well, this is a Christadelphian family. And they know the truth. And they have the promises of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And Mom and Dad are committed. And it's a summer afternoon. His dad knew he would really like to be on the ranch, but it's really hard to make it anymore in the cattle business and farming. So to raise his family, they moved to town. And his dad started up a little business. Well, his dad come in that day, and it's in the afternoon, and it's one of those long summer afternoons, just like here, and it's warm, and he's been in the house, and it's getting long, about 5 or 6 o'clock, and he got to thinking, oh, man, it's time for Dad to get home. He started getting excited. And again, it wasn't that he didn't love Mom, but he got to thinking, wonder when Dad's coming. All he wants to hear is to hear the car driving up. Here's a door slam. It's Dad! It's my hero! And he runs full tilt through the house, and in Dad comes to the door. He runs, and he just grabs him up in a big old bear hug. Dad, you're home. And so, yeah. And then Mom comes in. She gives him a hug and a kiss, and Dad goes in the bedroom. There's baby sister in the crib. He goes in, and she's smiling, and he gives her a kiss and says, hi, sweetie. And this little boy, we're just going to call him Sam for right now. Sam loves his little sister, too. But he knows she's different. There's something about her that's a little different. And he's one of the guys. So the first thing he asks Dad, he says, "Dad, can we go outside and play ball?" And he said, "Son," he said, "I just got home from the office." He said, "Give me just a little time to unwind. Let me get a glass of iced tea." So he goes in the kitchen, he gets him a glass of iced tea. And he's talking about, Sam's over here kind of listening, he's playing, but he's still kind of keeping his eye on Dad to make sure that when his dad gets ready, they can go out and play. And Dad's talking to Mom, he says something about business, and he said, "You know, man, that new competition is really getting rough." He said, "They've taken a hunk out of our business." Sam wasn't sure what he meant, but he could tell Dad was kind of nervous, and something was bothering Dad, and that made him kind of nervous. And he said, I think we can make it because we've been in the business for years, but he said, all they're thinking about is cost. They're not really thinking about the finished product. We make a lot better product, but he said, they're really hurting us right now. And he said, I'm having to work longer hours, and I don't know that we're going to make it, but I think we will. And Sam hears this. So Dad goes back in his little office area, and he's working on books from the office. And because he's trying to keep up, he's trying to make it, keep the business from going under. And Sam kind of keeps peeking in there, looking, seeing when Dad's going to get through. And he's never getting through. He's never coming out of there. And he knows he's not really supposed to bother him. But finally, he decides to go in there and kind of eases up to him. And he says, "Dad, can we play now?" "Son, I'll play with you later. You know, right now, I've got to finish this stuff in the office." So he goes off and forgets it for a little while. And then he comes back, and he sees Dad in there watching the TV. "All right, Dad's through. I can play." And he runs up, Dad, can we play?" He says, "Now, listen, I got to have a little time to unwind. Just let me watch this golf game." And Sam's like, "You know, okay." And then he comes back. Dad's gone. The TV's shut off, and he's gone. "All right, he can play." And he runs in the study. Dad's in there, and he's got his Bible in his hand. Well, he knows when Dad gets his Bible in his hand, that's really important because God's important in our life, and Dad's taught him that, and Mom's taught him that. But he really wants to play bad, and he looks, and the sun's getting a little lower and a little lower, and so he goes into the den. He says, "Dad," he said, I know I'm not supposed to bother you when you're studying the Bible, but I know I don't know what you're doing." And he says, "Well, I'm making a class. I'm presiding on Sunday morning, and I have a little table talk I have to do." And he said, "I've got to get it finished. I've been behind with my work, and I haven't had much time to work on it. And this is Friday, and I got to get this lesson. You know, this is really important." And he says, "Oh, yeah, this is. God is important." So Sam goes off again. And then he looks outside, and the sun is going down, and there's a sunset, and really pretty, and Mom is talking about it, and she calls her husband and says, "Come and look at the sunset." And he says, "I can't. I got to finish this lesson." Now, everything's important that we're talking about. Making a living is important. Studying the Bible is important. They know what they're supposed to do. But there's a little boy there, and that little boy's hero has come home. Well, it's supper time. He gets to be with his dad at supper, but he realizes, you know, it's getting dark now, and he can't go outside and play. So they go onto the table, and they have supper, and Dad offers thanks, and he asks the little boy if he wants to help with a prayer. And Sam says, "Lord, thank you so much for my dad, and thank you for my mom." Of course, that makes your parents feel proud. Then afterwards, Dad can't quite get this lesson together. As soon as supper's over, he goes back in the study, and he's got to get this thing just right to present to the ecclesia. He's got this idea he's working on, and he can't quite get it together. It's something he's understanding, and he wants to have it just right. We want to do our best for God. And Sam's watching him, and finally he comes in there, he goes into Mom. He says, Mom, you think Dad might play horsey with me? You know, sometimes he gets on his all fours, and I ride him around the living room like a horse. And he says, "Where is my horse?" And she laughs. You see, he's in there. So he runs in. Dad, will you be my horse? He looks over his glasses. He says, "Son, I told you I'm studying the Bible lesson." And Dad's not intending to be wrong. And it's bedtime. And he says, "You know, by the way, it's your bedtime. I'll go help you brush your teeth." He says, "Dad, I can brush my teeth." So he goes to bed. And he's laying there in bed. And he thinks, maybe Dad will come and have his prayer with me like he does sometimes. Well, someone comes, but it's Mom. And that's good. That's good. She has a prayer with him. And she says, you have anything to say? And he says, Lord, I want to be just like my dad. And he will. We have to take time for our children. There's more than academic study of the Word of God. It's putting it into practice. It's taking our sons alongside of us and showing him what it is to be a man of God. Study with our sons. Who is supposed to be the primary teacher of the children? The dad. The dad is the high priest. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. The mom is his helper. She probably spends more time because of our society today. But dad is the one who's supposed to be the spiritual leader in the house and take a hold. We're training up the next generation of believers. We have to show them what a man of God is by example, by living alongside with them, by teaching them what it is to be a man of God. David was out in the wilderness as a very young man, herding sheep. A very young man. His dad had taught him, and his dad had taught him about the Lord, I'm certain. And then he turned him over to God. And that's our job. God is the real father. And that's what we're doing, is taking our children, our sons and our daughters, and we're training them up to give them to God. Just like Hannah did. She gave her son much earlier a special gift. So how do we do this? Something happened when we started getting away from agriculture, from farming and ranching. The dads aren't home as much as we should be. We can do it, though, but we have to take extra effort and extra time. When we have that time, when we get home, use that time wisely. Children are gone. I can remember when I brought Jonathan and Hannah home from the hospital, and they were little bitty. And now they're grown. And that job is done. And now I'm a grandparent. I have a different job, a different role. Goes by like that. And being a mother, being a father, is the highest calling as a son of God, training up your children for the Heavenly Father. They're a heritage of the Lord. And if you don't have children, go help somebody with children. Some of us don't have children. So help somebody with children, because they are a trial, and sometimes it's hard, and sometimes we need a break. That's why we have this other family, the extended family of the Ecclesia of God, to help. And we let little irritations and frustrations and minor things cause arguments and splits and hard feelings. When we're supposed to be a support team, we're supposed to work through these problems. Oh, that smeared in this Arkansas wet, didn't it? Finally, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear in my body the brand marks of Jesus. Now, he was talking about when he was stoned, he was whipped. This is Paul. He was beaten. He was scarred. But he had commitment. Marriage, sometimes, with kids. Ask a mom with several kids. Ask a mom sometimes just that one kid that comes along that can be four kids. This is a branding iron. What you do, this is one Jonathan made up when he was up at the ranch where Joel and Hannah are now in Wyoming. And this was the brand I had when I grew up. There was a little slash. I didn't have room for everything. There was another iron with a slash that goes over here. And what you do, you heat this up red hot. I mean red hot. If you heat it red hot, it's quick. You just sock it on, whap, and and they are branded. The colder it is, the longer you have to kind of wiggle it, and the more it hurts. Now, it does hurt. But in New Mexico, there's a brand law. And if you don't brand your calf, you have so long, then he belongs to the state. You have to have that mark up. It's recorded. There's a place on it. Mine was on the right shoulder. There's an earmark that you make a little notch. Every rancher has his own earmark, and that's recorded. So that's a legal identification on that cow or horse or whatever livestock it is. And I like this verse that Paul had here, because when we enter into covenant with God, we're branded, we're servants, we're marked, we're dedicated, we're committed, we're there for life. When we make that covenant with the Father, there was an old saying years ago with cowboys, it's still there. And when you signed on for an outfit, it was called riding for the brand. And whether it was the IBAR-X or the 4.6s or the 4T4 or the HN bar or the XIT, you were committed. You signed on for whatever period of time, if it was a year, to get the job done. And it wasn't a 9-to-5 job. There were no unions. There were no people say, well, I want off at 5 o'clock. On a farm, Clarion grew up on a farm. You stayed out there morning till after dark to get done what you had to do. You come in, you milk the cows, you raised a garden. Sometimes there wasn't time off. And I think serving God is very similar to that. We're committed. We sign on. We know when we sign on from reading the scriptures, there's gonna be problems. There's gonna be quarrels among brethren. There's gonna be strife. That's part of life. But we're gonna make it. Turn with me to Malachi. Chapter 4, verse 6. Somehow I got from Malachi to Matthew there in the wind. Malachi 4 and 6. Actually, I'm going to start with one verse in front of that, with verse 5. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Why did he choose those two people for the illustration? What happens in a society when it leaves God? The fathers quit doing their job. That's what's happened in our country. The fathers are gone. So many fathers just leave their families. Some of them under the guise, I just can't handle it. I probably shouldn't have married her, and I just don't love her anymore. And there, here's one I've heard so many times. We just fight all the time, so it's much better on the children if I'm gone. Baloney. Quit fighting. Work out those problems. If you have a fight, and you're going to have a fight, there are very few couples that don't fight. There are some. If you have a fight, then solve it in front of the kids. If you've had a fight in front of the kids, then work it out in front of the kids to show them how you do it. Don't just go off in the bedroom and have it, because they can hear you in the bedroom. And if you do it in front of them, they're watching you. You're going to be a little more careful what you say. Now, if Becky and I had an argument, but we were having this argument right here, it'd be a whole lot different than if we were alone. Because we know you're watching us. Now, God's watching us. We kind of forget that at times. You shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to their fathers. One of the things that's happening in this country is an undermining of the family unit in the United States. It started with World War I and World War II. The fathers were gone off to war. And then after that, leaving the agricultural life and getting into industrial life, moving into the cities, just to make a living. It was hard. The drought during the Depression. It was sometimes a matter of survival. But it causes problems we have to fight. And we have to compensate. Dads, treat your son how to treat a woman, his mom. Treat him. Treat her. Show him. Teach him what God wants you to be as a husband. Train him up to be a husband. Show him how to treat his wife, how to cherish his wife, how to protect her, how to lead her in Bible study to the God, to our Heavenly Father, how to help her get toward what God wants her to be. Turn with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. We're definitely going to talk about wives in another class. But we're going to start with husbands. Verse 23, the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ, the Messiah, is the head of the church, the ecclesia, and he is the savior of the body. Therefore, as the, I'm going to read ecclesia is subject unto Christ, Messiah, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the ecclesia and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. Some of you guys may run a crew at work. When I run a crew up in the forest, building a fence across a mountaintop, you talk in certain ways. You holler back and forth. That's a little crooked. Get that back over that way a little bit. You know, you don't think anything about it. When you're dynamiting and you're blowing stumps out of a trail, you know, if somebody starts walking down the trail, you don't go, excuse me there, ma'am, sir, there's dynamite there. I don't really want to hurt your feelings, but there's dynamite there. You go, look out, there's some dynamite right there. And in our life, there are things that will destroy our young people. Drugs, alcohol. We have 13-year-old alcoholics in our society, 12-year-olds. Where did they learn it? We have youngsters already addicted at that age to cocaine. Where did they learn it? We are an example. The family. Back to the mom. As you can see, I always get sidetracked from my notes. Demonstrate, nurture, cherish, love, listen, respect, honor. That he might present the ecclesia, that we might present our wives not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. That we might present our wives to the master. Do you think about, we are responsible. We only say we're individually responsible. We husbands are responsible to help our wives get into the kingdom. We never give up. I found out certain things. One time I was teaching a family class at home, and I got to this very section on wives, and I proceeded to teach my wife, Becky, about submission. Did that work? Well, not the way I did it. Now, this is something that's better learned in a sister's class or a sister's meeting. Or I can express it indirectly. But for you to teach your wife how she's supposed to, I'm supposed to learn how I'm supposed to be. She's supposed to learn how she's supposed to be. And here's how I help her, by nurture. This is the right way. Cherish, love, listen, respect, and honor. Never, never, never talk bad about your wife anywhere. In public, in private, anywhere. If you've got something to talk about your wife, talk to God. If there's something you're wrestling to, talk to God. But you keep her high on your list, and she will be a submissive wife. If you disagree, we're talking about, work it out. Show your son, show your daughter how to treat your wife as the Messiah. Have I got about 15 minutes? Is that right? I'm going to state that a little different than I wrote it down. No other person can replace a boy's dad. God made dads to be dads. My dad was baptized, but he really never came to meeting. I love my dad. And my dad taught me a lot of things. I'm going to talk about those too. But I'm also going to talk about the things that he didn't teach me. Because he was too busy, and because work took too much of his time. And I learned about being what God wanted to be from my mom. Well, mom could not teach me about a man of God. She wasn't a man. She taught me about God, but I had some mixed understandings about what a man of God was when I was young, because my dad didn't go. He never discouraged us from going, but he didn't take an active part. So if there's any of you dads out there that don't take an active part, you are making a statement. If you don't go to meeting, if you're too busy with work, you're telling your son, this is not really important. This is for women. So we teach by example as well as what comes out of our mouth. And if we're so busy making that business work, we're telling him, you know, making money is more important than you are. We teach lessons. We have choices. Dad is this boy's link to being a man of God. Now, I'm kind of, as I go through these classes, I've taught, used this one before. I'm adding things that I'm learning and clarifying things. Dad is a link to being a man of God. Now, because I asked this question, because mom is definitely a link to God. My mom was. My mom was so faithful. She taught me from the time I was a little kid, no matter where we were, she would take me to a meeting. And if we weren't close enough, she would teach me at home. And on Sunday, we had Bible study. You know, Wednesday night, we had Bible study. And at night, she prayed with us. And I love my mom. But she wasn't a man. And I needed a man at times to show me what a man of God was. Now, from Ephesians chapter 5, dad is what? What? The what? The head. The high priest. the leader, the protector. Teach your son about God in all aspects. Gentle, yes. I think Christadelphians, I think people, a lot of people study the Bible. We always teach our sons to be gentle. But you know, there are times when a man needs to stand up and you say, that is wrong. There's times we reason. There's times we're quiet. There's times, hey, the rest of my class. But there's times a man has to stand up and be a warrior. Now, we have a type of warfare we're doing, and it's explained to us in the Scriptures, the whole armor of God. But that is not being weak. Gentle, yes. A strong warrior also. Love and mercy, yes. Also powerful. I was talking to Parker when he was smaller. He was just about the age of James. And Parker said, my dad is a big, strong cowboy. And he is. And he looked up to his dad as awesome. Just like these other boys are looking at you, dads, as awesome. Again, a father and a mother is more important than being the president of the United States. More important than being a doctor or a lawyer. More important than being successful in business. Teach these young people to plug into God. We're turning them over to God. We're teaching them to be men and women of God by watching us. And you watch a kid, he's going to look like his dad. He's going to walk like his dad. He's going to, if his dad has a pair of spurs, he's going to get him a little pair of spurs. He's going to put them on his boot. He's going to be walking like his dad. And if dad likes steak, or if dad likes Cheetos, he's going to like steak or Cheetos. If dad doesn't like salad, that boy's going, I'm not eating salad. You know, guys don't eat salad. You know? And those are neat things. Teach him how to shave. Watch a little boy when you're shaving. They're looking at you like, wow, that I can't. When they start feeling, you know, and looking in the mirror, you know, they don't realize how much of a pain it is eventually. How important is your son or daughter to you? How important is your son or daughter to you? If necessary, and just present you a scenario. Let's say you're living somewhere and all at once, and this is real. The society around you, the town around you, the people around you get so bad that it's threatening to lead your child away from God. His peers in that area, maybe he's tampering with drugs, maybe it's alcohol. Would you give up your career for your son or daughter? Would you move to another location? These are real questions. And there are men and women who have done this. Will you sacrifice to make him a son of God or her a daughter of God? A man of God or a woman of God? What needs to be done? So think about it. What can we do? What are some practical solutions to ensure that our sons and daughters become sons and daughters of God? What steps do we need to take? What changes in our lives do we need to take for our grandchildren, in my case? For the young people coming up in our ecclesias. And that's why earlier I talked about change, and I want us to know that I don't want to change our doctrine. I don't want to change the foundations. I'm talking to people who already have foundations. We have other people covering those areas in our classes, and we need to go over those and over those and over those. On a ranch, there's all kind of things to do. There's water gaps. We had water gaps along the highway in the winter country. And one time we were moving the cattle up, had half of them up to the high country, and there was a windmill up there. And it went late one evening, and the windmill had broke, and the cattle had about that much water, which left enough to water them that one night. So I was alone. I had to go back to the windmill the next morning, or that bunch of cattle up there I had would be out of water. That night it came a rain, washed out the water gaps on the highway, and the cattle that were left there could get out on the highway and cause a wreck. So I had a choice. You know, I could go fix the windmill and make sure those cattle had water. I go fix, or they leave them out of water and go fix the water gaps. Well, I had to fix the water gaps because people were in danger there. So I had to make a choice to do that one. Both were important. That's just like these classes we have. Everything we're talking about here is important. Every one of these things. But different ones of us need to take different jobs, just like shoring up this building. If we'd only kept speaking and nobody ever put that in there, this could fall down on our heads. So that's important. Cooking is important. Fixing the sewer is very important. I mean, if that backed up in your house one night, you know, it's a little hard to study with that in the living room there. Watching kids, these teachers, John Boma and I volunteered to teach the class that were around 3 years old up one time. And they said, "You sure y'all can do it? You need some help?" And we're like, "Do we need some help? What are you thinking?" You know? So we had this little room there. You know, we put them up there at the Bible school in New Mexico. Had the windows and the doors. We got third period. Ah, this one, you know. Y'all are doing fine. Them at third period, we got them in there. We were trying to teach them. Okay, now, we're going to teach you about God. Pew, this one's gone, you know. So we bring that one back. Now, repeat after me. We were teaching them about a lesson about Samuel. Samuel was in the temple and he heard the Lord. Pew, that one was gone. We're like, whoa, you know. And so how would you like to be Samuel? I want to be Samuel. I want to be Samuel. So they all want to be Samuel. Couldn't get anybody else to be Eli. And so then we were okay now. And then about that time, we lost a whole bunch of them. And they were just like going around and around and around like this. And one of them went out the door, and I run and grabbed him and shut the door, you know. Well, by that time, we couldn't even get him to sit down, you know, without beating him or tying him. We didn't figure that would go out too across with the moms, you know. That guy beat me. We could have hobbled him. I thought about that. We did think about whipping him. But we're thinking, you know, that's not going to work. So I said, okay, John, you hold the door. I'll keep him moving. And so we did, and it worked, you know. I don't know what we taught them, but we kept them in a room. Yes, we didn't tell the moms. Mothers can do things. It is awesome. I was up at a Bible school, and a dad had come up to me with his little child, and he was talking to me about the classes I was teaching. And all at once, the child goes, and it's gone, you know. And I'm thinking, well, isn't he going to watch his child? Okay, here's the dad. Now, see, the dad was focused. He was focused on me. We were talking. He forgot the kid. Would a mom do that? Mom can look at me, the kid, plan her Bible lesson, you know, figure out what she's going to do that night and have supper ready the next morning. You know, guys can't do that. We have one-track mind, you know. And he actually forgot the kid. We visited for 10 minutes. And I'm thinking, well, I guess he trusts his kid. And he looks around and he says, oh, where's my kid? I was like, well, he's gone a long time ago. You know, we've gone up and he's gone to another building. Here come a lady leading him. He come up here in this building. I was leading him back. Everybody, I mean, the family is a, when God made the family, it's just fascinating to me. That clock goes, which way do I go for the next few minutes? Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. And what I'm going to do in the next few minutes is just simply introduce another phase. Chapter 6, verse 12. And this has already been read earlier in another class. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. As our country has moved on, and the Supreme Court has ruled that it's okay to kill your unborn child. There are also people now ruling in Canada and the United States challenging marriage between a man and a woman. It can be marriage between a man and a man. What do we do as believers? It would be nice if we could just stick our head like an ostrich in the sand and ignore it. We've done that. It's unpleasant. But it's affecting the body. And the key to that particular problem is the dad. We men have to welcome our sons into the club of manhood. I don't care, and there's some boys that are born smaller, some boys are born big. Some boys are born with artistic abilities. That doesn't mean they're not a man. They may not be exactly like dad, but they still need to be welcomed into manhood and made a part of the group. Find out where he fits in, how God has in mind for this man to be a man of God. And we're going to talk about daughters as well. So how do we do it? And it takes time. There's a thing called quality time, and that's very important, but there's also a thing called quantity. Deuteronomy chapter 6, remember? Go with me quickly. I think I have a few seconds. I have how many? One. Let's go quick. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Verse 7. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and thou shalt talk of them when? When thou sittest in thine house. Well, you got to be there. And when you walk by the way, you got to take that boy fishing, that girl fishing. You got to go on a hike. You got to go to a park. You got to go to meeting. You got to go to Sunday school. And when thou liest down, have your prayers with them. Be with them. Let them go to sleep with God. And when they rise up, be there for them. That's a start. Thank you.